Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Ashew on The Fan. I just saw this a second ago. This has got to be the most awkward video I've seen in a while. So Carlos Mendoza was fired by the Mets. I'll just play it here, but I will say, right now this is a Mets reporter on the pregame show for the Mets.
The Mets simply changed too much.
With the head, the lower third below him, Carlos Mendoza fired by Mets manager.
We're going to make some changes.
Now what you can't see in the background of this video is Mr. Met, the mascot, dancing and making a scene behind this reporter who's talking about the Mets manager who just got fired. Read the room, dude. There's actually a human in that costume. And that is insanely awkward. The Mets pregame show talking about the manager being fired while the mascot is dancing behind. And maybe he's celebrating. He might just be celebrating, but it's just such a bad look. But it's
funny. Yeah. He has to go. That mascot's got to go to every single Mets game.
That's
brutal. They have to pay him to come.
Right.
That's how bad they are.
It's like, listen, you're going to have to sit and go through every one of these games. It's just so awkward. Even though, it's probably a celebration. I mean, you know, being a Mets fan is tough, dude. Being a Mets mascot is probably just as tough. I mean, I guess at least you get to hide. You can hide your face, which is nice. But it's just sitting there celebrating. Wow. Oh, my God. Hey, listen, you know, there are times where you just have to move on, and the Mets needed to move on from their manager, just like the Bucks had to move on from Giannis. That's how you segue, my friends. Look, I'm seeing all these rumors today about, like, the Celtics now. You know, there's not this market for Jaylen Brown. It's so awkward for the Celtics. It's so awkward for, I mean, any team could be this way, right? Like, if the Wizards in 6 months try to trade Trae Young and nobody wants him, and you know, then he's got to come back to the team and play the rest of the season, and he knows the team had him really deep in trade talks. It's going to be awkward. I don't see how Jaylen Brown can come back to the Celtics when everybody knows he was the guy they were offering up for Giannis, and it didn't happen because everybody also knew in Milwaukee that he didn't want to go play for the Bucks, and the owner was like, well, I'm not going to do this if I'm going to have to trade this guy, so we're just not going to make that trade. Giannis goes to Miami. Jaylen Brown stays in Boston, and now you got all kinds of reports like, yeah, actually, there's not this huge market for Jaylen Brown. Bobby Marks of ESPN says there's, quote, mixed feelings about Brown across the league. This is so awkward. It's as awkward as Mr. Met dancing behind a reporter talking about the Mets firing their manager. But, you know, look, this is the nature of the NBA. And you talk about Anthony Edwards, right? Somebody that could be traded at some point, asking for a trade. Like, this is how the NBA goes. If you're the Wizards, I mean, A.J. DeBonta just got here, but you want him to always be happy and never want to trade out of Washington. They're going to have to build a team around DeBonta. They're going to have to make sure that this team is successful. And, you know, if he lives up to the expectations that he has as the number one overall pick, the Wizards have to live up to what his expectations are going to be, which is, at some point, a championship contender. Not now, but down the road. And if it doesn't happen, A.J. DeBonta will want out. And I'm not jumping ahead and saying that's going to happen, but what I am saying is that's how the NBA works. And, you know, at some point, people forget, I think, that there are actual people with emotions, and sometimes those emotions are maybe an overreaction, or, you know, somebody's a little sensitive, or, you know, somebody's just kind of been worn down from the way an organization's been run or how they've been treated or whatever the case is. For Giannis, he got tired of the way the Bucks were handling things and got tired of it, especially in the last season. For Jaylen Brown, it's kind of felt awkward over the years, because his name's been thrown around in trade rumors, but it was never this situation right here. It's hard to come back from that. It's going to be really hard for the Celtics in an East that's pretty wide open. I mean, really, right now, you look at the East. I'm not putting the Wizards up there yet, but it's the Knicks and who else? Like, everybody else. And the Knicks have an expensive roster, and they could lose Mitchell Robinson, and, you know, they're up against it. They're not going into the second apron, but they're going to pay taxes, and they're going to go through all that process to keep this roster together as much as they can. But, you know, right now the Knicks are going to keep this core together. What that looks like a couple of years down the road with extensions for Cat, OG Anunoby is going to be up there, and, you know, Jalen Brunson obviously going to not leave money on the table this time around. What's the East look like? Again, it could be very different in the next few years. Like, I don't look at the Miami Heat now and go, oh, that's a championship contender. Yeah, Giannis is great, but he's 32 soon. He's coming off of injury plague season. I get that also Milwaukee sat him out for a while and could have played more games, but it's not like he wasn't dealing with injuries, even to a point. He's dealt with injuries over his career anyway. It's not like he's a guy that's been overly durable. So what is Miami now with a gutted roster? What are the Pistons? They won 60 games, but they got to get somebody else that can play alongside Cade Cunningham that can actually score. The Celtics now are in kind of disarray, even with Jason Tatum being their future, as it's always been his team. Jaylen Brown clearly on the trade block. The Celtics are serious. Other teams are up and down. And again, you could also put out there like, hey, nobody wants to trade for Jaylen Brown, to drop down his, you know, what a team's going to offer, so another team that wants him. It's the same thing with lying season during the draft. It's the same thing, right? It's very easy for somebody that's, you know, a Rockets executive to tell an NBA reporter, yeah, we're finding that no teams really have some serious interest in him because the Rockets want him and they want to drive down the price so they can pay less to trade for him. I mean, all this stuff is a game. But that's why it's so important now for the Wizards to take that next step, because the East is in disarray. I mean, it really is. How many teams do you really look at in the Eastern Conference of the NBA and say, that's a contender? We know what's going on in the West. We know it's Thunder Spurs. But the Cavs are going to make changes this offseason. That was the four seed. They won 52 games. And, I mean, who knows what that roster looks like. The Raptors, kind of a middle-of-the-pack team. They won 46 games. Well-coached. I think pretty good team. Hawks, same thing, a 46. But, I mean, the Sixers, the Magic, the Hornets just traded LaMelo Ball. The Heat were a 43-win team, and they gutted their roster for Giannis. It's just, it's one of those conferences where you can look, if you're the Wizards, and say, big jump over the next year and then the next 2 years, and you're in the thick of it at the top of the Eastern Conference. It's a lot of pieces have to fall into place. But it's not, like, if the Wizards played in the West right now, you're looking up at the Thunder and Spurs going, how do we compete with them? It's a much different situation. And it's all stages, right? It's not like we're looking at the Wizards going, that's a championship team right now. Not yet. That's their goal. But they're not there yet. But there's a path that feels a lot more open in the East than it does in the West. And look, I mean, heading into this offseason, before the Jaylen Brown stuff got really loud and before it was clear that the Celtics were serious about trading Jaylen Brown for Giannis, you know, kind of felt like Knicks, Celtics, everybody else. Now it's kind of Knicks and everybody else, which again, I know it may seem crazy because the Wizards, you know, the Wizards won 17 games last year, but we watched the Pistons a couple of years ago triple their win total. We've watched the Spurs and the Thunder take these big jumps in win totals. That's from experience, chemistry, a level of routine and consistency. It takes a lot to get to that point. It's not like it's easy. But the point is that it's possible. There's a precedent for it. It's happened. And especially with younger teams, things start to click. Now the Wizards have to stay healthy. You know, they've got to get that player development has to continue to be really, you know, thorough. A.J. DeBonta is going to make a huge difference here. I mean, Trae Young is a floor raiser. He's not a ceiling raiser, but he's a floor raiser for this team. It's enough to have this team in the conversation of, like, the Sixers won 45 games last year. They were the seventh seed. Wizards could be right there. 17 to 45 wins may seem crazy, but again, we know that team was better than 17 wins anyway. They were sitting everybody. Now, Alex Sarr has to be healthy, come back from that foot injury, and A.J. DeBonta's got to look like a rookie of the year. Trae Young's got to shoot the ball well. I have no idea what the hell's going to happen with Anthony Davis, but they may move him, they may keep him. They keep him for a season, and he's healthy for 50 games. Yeah, that's enough to get him to about 40-something wins. So it's possible. The East is just very volatile right now. I don't think the Heat have enough. I really don't. Like, this is the thing. When you trade for stars in the NBA, it sounds all cool and exciting. Like, hey, the Heat got Giannis. You're really excited. Yeah, cool. What's the rest of your roster look like? Like, the Heat's roster is completely empty, and you're only going to have so much cap space to go out there and really build around it. And that's the one thing. Like, Giannis wants to go to a team that's more of a contender. Cool. But are the Heat really more of a contender right now? I mean, you're looking at a Davion Mitchell, Norman Powell, who's an underrated player, Andrew Wiggins, Giannis, Bam Adebayo. Where's that get you in the NBA? East, West, doesn't matter. Where? I don't know. I mean, I like Bobby Portis. It's fine, right? But we all love Bobby Portis in D.C. But that was the other piece that came over. Like, the Heat are going to have to, again, look, if the sign and trade for LeBron rumor actually happens with the Lakers and Heat, okay. Maybe that gives you 1 year. But even then, if you're the Heat, that's 1 year. Davion Mitchell, Norman Powell, Andrew Wiggins, Giannis, Bam. What is that? What is that in the East? It's not a lot. It's a very wide open conference right now, but this is the business that you get in. If you are willing to build your team the way the Heat have, where it's trading for stars. Now, again, Miami back in the LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh era was a little different. That was free agency, but they still were top heavy and up against the salary cap and dealing with all that. So they had to find ways to fill out the roster, but they did it with guys that were willing to take discounts. They're not going to be the same amount of players that are willing to take a discount for Giannis and Bam versus Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James. Like, you knew you were a championship contender right away if you went and played for the Heat and you were willing to sacrifice millions of dollars and you really wanted to win. Cool. More power to you if you do that. Nobody's taking discounts with the Miami Heat to go play with Davion Mitchell, Norman Powell, Andrew Wiggins, Giannis, Bam. It's just not happening. The Wizards are a better free agent destination in terms of talent and future than the Miami Heat. I'm serious. They really are. And listen, Giannis is still one of the best players in the NBA, but even he can't do it by himself. And maybe I'm just mad because Bam scored 83. Blew past Kobe. I hate it. Can't stand it. Never should have been the case. Should have never happened. And the Wizards were quadruple teaming him, and it still was the case. But yeah, look, the fallout now and the collateral damage from the Giannis trade is going to go far because the Heat have a gutted roster. The Celtics have to deal with Jaylen Brown and potentially trying to move him and then teams deciding whether they want him or not. If you're the Celtics, I mean, you're selling high, right? You're trading somebody that had a career year that really should have been more in the MVP conversation in Jaylen Brown. But then you hear that a lot of teams aren't interested. And it's like, well, what do we believe? Does that feel like a fluke? Because the Celtics years ago, I know it wasn't the same front office, but there were some people still there, sold high on Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas averaged about the same. It was about 28 points a game, something along those lines. Big scoring year. Remember his peak year in Boston? And what happened in the offseason? They traded him for Kyrie. So if you're the Celtics, this is your sell high moment. You're probably going to have to redo this roster. You blow a 3-1 lead and lose in the first round. So it's an aggressive organization that's not going to look to stay exactly where they are. And again, an East that's very wide open after the Knicks. And look, you could even argue the Knicks don't... Like, I don't know who competes with the Knicks at this moment. The Knicks are the best team in the Eastern Conference, but there's a chance the Knicks don't get back to the finals again. I mean, they were a historically good team in the playoffs last year. Are they going to stay healthy again another year? Like, these are the types of things that are going to matter. And if they lose a Mitchell Robinson and, you know, guys that were a key part of that run, even coming off the bench, other than the free throws, then the Knicks are still vulnerable. This Heat roster, though, it's... Telling you, like, right now, the Heat win the matchup battle of Giannis and maybe Bam. After that, the Wizards, the rest of their starting lineup, I take that over the Heat in 2 seconds. Davion Mitchell, Norman Powell's a decent player, all right, but, like, still. Andrew Wiggins, eh. I think I'd take the Wizards. Am I being a homer? You know I'm not a homer. I'll be honest. Kind of feels that way. The East is just very, very wide open.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Right now. Nick Ashew on the Fan. So I'm checking Instagram right now, and I don't see anything from Brandon Ayuk today, which is disappointing. Nick Ashew on the Fan. At this point, I just expect something every day now from him. I really do. You know what else, too?
If you don't, then I get worried.
Right. We're honestly at that point now.
Is he okay
like,
today?
Why is he not posting? He's supposed to be following the post every day strategy, and he's not. Right. You get very upset. Look, this is a guy that's doing everything he can to get out of San Francisco. I just, like, what are we doing? Why is he still there? Why? So I have a theory, and I'm not the only one that has this theory, so I'm not going to take full credit for this, but I know other people have certainly said this. Maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't, but I will lump all of us into the group. If the 49ers knew that Brandon Ayuk had nothing left in the tank, didn't look good in workouts, didn't look in shape, didn't look like he still had a lot left in the tank. Again, he's what, 28? They would cut him because they wouldn't be worried about the result. they wouldn't be worried about what he looks like in another uniform, obviously burgundy and gold, which is just, I mean, it's likely going to happen here, right? They're holding on to him because they are so desperate for a team to offer them anything just so they can say they got something in return for a guy whose stock is insanely low on the trade market. In fact, it's non-existent. And yet at the same time, they don't have answers right now for how to handle this. And he's winning the battle. And I know people sit here and turn this into this like, oh, he's turning into Antonio Brown. No, he's not. This guy is doing everything he can to drive the San Francisco 49ers so insanely crazy that he's willing to just post random troll videos every day that, by the way, are no different than like anything else on social media. None of this is crazy. He's talking into a camera. He's doing a random bit with cash in his closet, which I guess signifies what? Willing to give up money just to go play? Openly saying go Commanders and all this. This guy, I see this very differently. Wes, I see this as a guy that actually wants to play football and wants a fresh start and wants to get the hell out of there. And I don't know why he gave up all of that money that the team took back, right? The bonus that ended up going back to him, and he didn't fight it, and he just, you know, when he didn't show up for treatment or whatever. And we may never know the full story for that. So I think at some point we're probably going to hear it. Wes, I think this is a guy that actually wants to play football, and the 49ers know he's ready to play football, and they're scared to death that they're going to see him week six against the Commanders, and he's going to ball out against them.
What if the 49ers just put him out there?
Put him out where?
On the field.
Oh, you're saying like they keep him and then wait until it gets against the Commanders?
Just keep him and say, hey, go play.
But he won't show up. That's the thing.
So is he getting paid?
So if he is on the roster after September 1st, I think there's guaranteed money that goes his way. I don't remember exactly what it is off the top of my head, but it is something like that.
I disagree with that. I mean, imagine if one of us just didn't show up.
Right.
We'd be cooked.
Well, I mean, I don't know the truth. I know it's happened with people before in our industry, just not showing up. But, you know, that's a whole other thing. No, look, I get it. People want to get all upset about the videos and think that this is a dude that just wants to get started with a fresh start. And the 49ers are just sitting back, like ignoring the entire situation, hoping it's going to go away. So we say, no, I'm going to be loud. I'm going to be the squeaky wheel, and you're going to replace me, right? You're going to get rid of me. It's so personal, and it makes no sense to be anything other than that. There is 0%
chance.
There
should be repercussions.
What would the repercussions for Ayuk?
Yes.
What would they be?
Not getting paid.
I mean, they're not right now. He's given up so much money with this team. And yes, if he doesn't show up to camp, he's going to start getting fined. So that's the next thing where the repercussions are. There'd be no repercussions in the offseason. It's later where the repercussions are.
So he is not getting paid right now.
Well, I mean, no, players don't get paid in the offseason. The money comes in during the season.
Okay.
So like no matter what, it's just then the fines
it's
start happening.
Spaced out at all?
I mean, it's spaced out. It's game checks.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, there may be other bonuses and you get those at different times or whatever, but guys get endorsements. There's all those other things. But no, the repercussions that you want, Wes, are if he doesn't show up to training camp or doesn't show up to other, you know, mandatory workouts. That's where the fines start happening. Like, that's why George Pickens showed up to the Cowboys. George Pickens showed up to the Cowboys because he was going to get fined $90,000 if he didn't show up to minicamp.
Darren McLaurin.
McLaurin. Well, McLaurin was showing up. That's why people do the that's why guys do the hold in now. Right? They hold in. They still show up.
But with shorts on.
Right. And it's like, oh, my hamstring hurts. Ah, I'm not ready to go, coach. Because in the end, you can't say a player's a liar. If he says he's hurt, you play that game. It's all a game. Like, all this stuff is a game. But I've never seen anything like this. Really, even going back to, like, T.O. or any receiver you want to put. I mean, T.O. had his biggest battles with teams, you know, the sit-ups, you know, crunches, whatever they were. Sit-ups or crunches, basically the same thing. His driveway or whatever. Like, this is far beyond anything that we have ever seen before. Anything. And you just don't know when this is going to end, yet we all know that it's going to have to end at some point with him no longer playing for the 49ers. And it's, I mean, at this point now, I would do something every day if I'm him. Every day. And you know what Wes, he doesn't even have to do anything. You know, if I'm Brandon Ayuk, I would buy Commanders jerseys, and I would just put a different one on and post myself in a picture of that every day.
Yeah, but does he know that the Commanders are still in on him?
I would bet they are. Honestly, here's the thing. If it's a very low risk, low guarantees, one-year deal to sign a guy that so desperately wants to play for you that he's willing to do this, we all want guys, right? You want somebody that's gonna want to be a part of the team and want to help build this culture and want to play football. If he's physically ready to go, it's there. He obviously wants to play. I think people are looking at this completely wrong. This is a guy that wants to play so bad that he's willing to do this and take the repercussions and the criticism from a lot of people that think it's stupid. He's making a point. I want out. I want the fresh start. Let me go to the Commanders. That's the team I want to play for. I want to go play with Jaden. Now, if he shows up and he's a distraction, then sure. But like, what's the distraction going to be? This is what I keep hearing from people. What if he's a distraction? And listen, I fell into this category for a while too. But as it's continued to go on, you realize more and more, this is a guy that actually does want to play football. And he's been quiet until June 1st or 2nd was when he started posting. Right around the time that, you know, he officially, like, them releasing him or trading him or whatever would have been possible. And right, like, that's why A.J. Brown got traded after June 1st. June 1st is that date where, you know, the cap hits are different. It can get complicated, but essentially that's a really key date. He was quiet until then. Now, there was the driving by the stadium. That was stupid. But that was it. Nothing. Hasn't gotten in trouble. Hadn't said a word. June hits. All of a sudden, he's doing this. What's that tell you? I'm telling you, I think this guy wants to play football, and I think he's ready to play football. And I think he's going to be motivated as hell. And I'm at the point now where I'm leaning all in. Go get this guy now. Get the 49ers to just cut. I mean, don't trade anything for him, obviously, because nobody else is going to do it. Go get him, though, at the minute he's a free agent. Let him keep doing this. Now, what's he going to do once he shows up? I'm telling you, he will be quiet. Now, I'm not saying 3-4 years down the road, if he's still on the roster, he isn't maybe a pain in the ass. That maybe. I'm talking about now, though. You're not going to sign him to more than a one-year deal. Maybe.
I would, yeah, one-year deal. I'm giving him less money than I would to Diggs.
Yeah, oh my gosh, not even close. Stephon Diggs still had a 1,000-yard season last year. Barely, but he did.
Get Diggs in D.C., please.
Well, listen, Diggs and Brandon Ayuk, I've been pushing for both. I know it's a pipe dream. People think I'm crazy, but they have $43 million in cap space. Why not?
I want Diggs.
Yeah.
Ever since I met him, I was like, you know what? This is the guy right here.
Oh, well, yeah. That's because you were talking to him, and now it's just personal. Now it's just different. But, yeah, listen, if they could get both, that would be great. It sounds like, I mean, Stephon Diggs hasn't been scooped up yet. I mean, training camp's still a little while away, but it comes up quick. I mean, maybe they wait till camp. Maybe they wait till after camp. I mean, the Ayuk thing's at this point is just going to drag on forever unless we get a random just I can't take it anymore and they cut him. But I think this guy is going to be a model citizen with this team for a year. So here's what I would do if I'm the Commanders. I would do a 1+1. I'd sign him to a one-year deal with a team option because it still puts him in a spot where he's kind of proving himself for a couple seasons. It gives him a chance in the first season to come back. Maybe you put him on the pup list for a few weeks. He can come back just in time for the 49ers game. Plays against the 49ers. Maybe that's his debut in a primetime game against his former team. Oh, it'd be so beautiful. Oh, it'd be amazing. And then, you know, he may be in and out a little bit, not fully involved in the offense and working himself back into football shape, because there's a difference between in shape and football shape. It's just different. And the second year then becomes a full prove-it year. And then at that point, maybe you can move on. You're like, that's enough. We've gotten the most out of him. Then he hits, his age 30 season, and you don't want to pay him a lot. And it's a perfect timetable for them. I mean, it really could work out perfectly for the Commanders in that sense, because he'll have to prove himself year one, and then with the team option, it's also year two. It's another contract year. So it's essentially back-to-back contract years for Brandon Ayuk in Washington.
With as a long 1+1. As Jaden Daniels is keeping tabs on him.
Well, here's the thing. Jaden Daniels would have to sign off on this. If it was a no, they wouldn't even consider it. If Jaden Daniels is like, look, he's my guy, but we can't have him here, they're not going to sign him. And if they don't, if he's a free agent and they don't sign him, that tells you that Jaden Daniels said, no, this ain't going to work. And they go after Diggs, and then it just becomes we waited too long. You know, the team waited too long. He wasn't available. Next question, right? Because you can hide it as, like, you signed Diggs. You don't have any more space. You couldn't add two. You had to choose one. Ayuk was still under contract with the 49ers. Like, if right now, here's the scenario. If Jaden Daniels has been telling Adam Peters and the rest of the front office, this guy's my friend, but like we can't bring him here. Then they're going to go make an effort to go sign someone else or nobody. But the best thing is one other guy, Stephon Diggs, your guy. You signed him to a one-year deal. And then even when Brandon Ayuk is a free agent, whenever that happens, and the Commanders don't sign him, it doesn't have to embarrass him publicly because then they can hide behind the fact that it's, well, we already had Stephon Diggs. We can only sign one guy. We couldn't wait forever on Ayuk. Great player. We wish him well. Next question. That's it. So then Jaden's not thrown under the bus. Ayuk's not thrown under the bus by the team. Everybody stays clear. That's how you do it. I just solved the problem for the Commanders. See, it's not that simple. And if Ayuk shows up and he's a pain in the ass and he's talking about the 49ers still, then they could just cut him then too. Because it has to be a deal that has almost no money guaranteed. All incentive laden. If he's motivated for 2 years for this team, it fits a need on this roster. A big time need. The type of player that he is at his peak. And look, I'm not even saying he's going to be peak Brandon Ayuk, the 1,300 yards receiving. He probably won't. If his first year you get, 50 catches and 600 yards receiving and a few touchdowns? I mean, that's enough. And you get an opportunity to see what else you've got on this roster. This is coming from somebody that was no Brandon Ayuk a long time ago. But when you get more information, you start to realize, maybe I need to look at this differently. And I'm willing to change my tone, and I've been doing that for a while. It is a saga, though. Anything new? Nope, still hasn't. Oh, my God. Denton Day just texted me. Brandon Ayuk just posted again. I swear to God, Denton, you are the best. We'll look at this next. Nick Ashew on the Fan.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Let's love!
Nick Ashew on the Fan. Just when I was worried that we hadn't heard anything from Brandon Ayuk, our good pal Denton Day sent me a text. He was listening, and we have a little update from Brandon Ayuk. Wes, let me know when he's on, because this is a long Cliff Notes that Denton has given me, and I know people care. Let's stop pretending we don't care, because this actually is a lot of information, and I think what we're starting to get here now is Brandon Ayuk spilling the beans. Brandon Ayuk starting to tell more and more stories, which is what I've always said. Like, at some point, people need to actually hear his side of the story, and it might benefit him if he starts to explain why we had all of these issues. Denton Day jumps on with me now, SiriusXM College, Team 980, Westwood 1, literally everything, 106.7 The Fan. Buddy, I got the Cliff Notes from you, but I'm going to let you kind of spell this out if you want, but I have them in front of me as well. I'm trying to find it, though, so I don't see Ayuk actually on Instagram here, but I see this video, and I see your Cliff Notes that you tweeted out, sir. There's a lot to unpack here.
Yeah, he's becoming a real influencer. You know, I don't know if you follow influencers. Hopefully you don't, but in the event that you do, they always do this thing where they post something that directs you to somewhere else. So he posted an Instagram story that directed you to the YouTube.
He did the YouTube link. I see it there now. So he's taking you from his Instagram story to the YouTube link, and then it's a YouTube video. He's smart. Listen, he's got somebody helping him behind the scenes, my friend.
As someone who loves 1.5 speed, this is very helpful because I don't have to sit through the entire 3.5 minutes. I can get it done in like 2 minutes and 45 seconds. So I actually very much enjoyed this by Brandon Ayuk.
So I see here, here's the Cliff Notes that you tweeted out. According to Brandon Ayuk now in his latest post that's now on YouTube this time, his agent is tight with John Lynch. John Lynch showed up at Ayuk's house uninvited once. Ayuk doesn't like Kyle Shanahan. Lynch apologized on behalf of Kyle at one point. It's a respect thing, not a money thing, which would explain why he just gave the money back that, you know, the team took and didn't fight it. And he's not stepping foot on a 49er property until October 19th, which is Commanders at 49ers on Monday Night Football. That's the Cliff Notes, my friend.
Yeah, and that's a family-friendly version because right. There were a lot of expletives in his actual version. He said some very not nice things about Kyle Shanahan, which we kind of already have known. You know, it's always felt like this is way more Ayuk versus Shanahan. But John Lynch is like the, I guess, the good cop in this scenario. Not the good cop, but he's like the one that is with Kyle Shanahan, and he's trying to like send these two off from one another. But it's always felt like it's a Shanahan versus Ayuk thing, and Lynch just happens to be more on team Shanahan at this point. He does not like him, though. Like, he really doesn't like him. There, I'm dying to know, because we know that Kyle Shanahan, I don't know that he's ever been accused of being a jolly individual. You know, he is a direct to the point, kind of an a-hole type of dude. So I'm like very curious as to what exactly was the breaking point to where these two didn't like each other. Because it's really easy to like each other when you're winning. And they've won a lot of football games. So like, what was the exact thing or combination of things that was said to where it became, yeah, I put up with him because we win, to, nope, I hate him, I want to leave?
Well, I feel like, too, I mean, if you go back to the early years of Ayuk in San Francisco, even before the breakout season and the big contract and everything, it always felt like Brandon Ayuk was talked about as this guy with all this potential and all this talent, but always in Kyle Shanahan's doghouse. I specifically, Denton, remember those conversations where it's like, there's clearly a disconnect between the two, and it feels like it's always been a thing between Kyle Shanahan and Brandon Ayuk.
And that's a long list of people that have had issues with Kyle Shanahan. I mean, I know he likes McCaffrey. He went to his wedding, looks dapper, right? Long-haired Kyle last offseason. Who remembers that? He looked like a Bond villain. I know he likes George Kittle. Like, I know he likes a lot of the guys that are on the team, but we also, just in being here, when he was here, there's a laundry list of people that don't get along with him. And that's kind of because he is rough around the edges. I don't know that that makes him a bad person, so to speak. I think when you
he's a hard ass. Denton, he's a hard ass.
He's a hard ass. Yeah. When you have the upbringing that he did of being the son of one of the smartest offensive minds that has ever graced the game, you're going to have a little bit of an ego. So I think when you have two strong-headed individuals, because I think at this point it's very fair to call Brandon Ayuk strong-headed, when you have two strong-headed individuals, very rarely is there ever a reconciliation. That's just not how these two guys operate.
Are you in the yes or no for Ayuk to the Commanders' boat?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's going to play here. I mean, we can sit here and yell at the sun for as long as we want. He's going to play here. And honestly, be embarrassing if he doesn't, because he's done so much. I mean, this dude's, he's done promo for the team. He's wearing the jerseys. He's wearing the hats. He got the game ball. He's talking about October 19th when they play San Francisco. I mean, he's been doing so much in saying, I am going to play in Washington. He's trying to give us the illusion that he's living here, which I don't think that he is. But he's giving us this illusion of, like, I'm in D.C. It would be embarrassing if he doesn't at this point. So, yeah, I'm expecting him to be here.
I mean, listen, I'll be honest with you. He's playing social media to a T right now. He's doing it all right. He's handling this the way that you're supposed to if you want to go that route. But, yeah, just listen, Denton, it just feels to me like at this point it's inevitable, and it's obviously the 49ers that are, you know, certainly being petty about this at this point. And in the end, like, this relationship is done, and I think we all know that. It just feels like these are all hostage messages where he's just trying to get released and wants to have a fresh start, wants to go to Washington. People get mad about the videos and think it's immature or whatever, but he was quiet until after June 1st. June 1st is when a lot of movement happens with players. And I know there's theories that maybe the 49ers told him they'd release him and they didn't, and that's when he started going off. But other than the one drive-by video by the stadium, which was stupid, he's been completely quiet, and now all of a sudden they've woken up this monster that's just clearly trying to do everything he can to get released and get a fresh start.
And look, man, like, he's not doing anything that is, outside of the speeding thing, he's not doing anything that's massively dangerous. He's not harming anybody. Are the videos annoying at a time? You know, is he a genius? I wouldn't call him that. I think he can do some things a little bit better, but it is really weird that San Francisco is allowing this to happen and not doing anything about it. You know, their general manager said publicly in front of a microphone, he is not going to play for us again. And then they're just holding on to him. Like, at a certain point, you do have to look at their side of things and be like, what is your end goal here? Are you just going to hold him hostage for forever? Like, we know what the culmination, what the ending is going to look like. He's not going to play for you in 2026. So why are you holding on to him the way that you are? Is it really because he just hasn't filed for reinstatement? Because I have a feeling if he knew that if he filed for reinstatement, he was immediately going to get cut, he would file for reinstatement and he would immediately get cut. So it's weird on both sides. I think a lot of people generally favor the organization in these sorts of things because San Francisco has been a winning organization for such a long time, but they are moving really, really oddly in the way that they're handling him.
That's my thing, is this just feels so much worse and more complicated and more just confusing than even, like, you know, T.O. and his battles with teams, or like, this is just dragged on so much farther. There's a theory out there, and I buy into this, and I'm not the only one that feels this way, but there's a theory that the 49ers have seen enough of him and gone, oh, he can still play, and they really don't want to release him, and they're hoping they can do anything they can to get something in return so they don't look as bad, that this is going to be one of those things that reflects poorly on them, especially if he goes off on Monday Night Football, a primetime game with the Commanders against them week 6.
There's no doubt he can still play, by the way. Like, that, there's no doubt, because if he was a problem child that sucked, he's not on your team.
Right.
You just let him go to the wolf. Like, we don't care. You're not good. He can very clearly still play, and that's why they have been apprehensive about this entire thing, because while he hasn't behaved exactly the way they wanted, which, by the way, I'm glad you mentioned T.O., he's way more T.O. than Antonio Brown. Like, these yes. two are not, maybe not so much in talent, because Terrell Owens is a better wide receiver than Brandon Ayuk, but the way that he's handling things, this is just the 2026 equivalent of doing the sit-ups in the parking lot surrounded by media. T.O. didn't have Instagram. If he did have Instagram, he'd probably be acting like this. But they know that he can play, and that's the reason that he's still on their roster.
All right. How do you think this ends up? Final ending to his time with the 49ers. What does it look like after this latest post today?
They're going to cut him, but they're not going to cut him until – I can't imagine they cut him until midway through training camp. I don't think they want him to come here and have time to install himself or get installed with the offense and build some camaraderie with Jaden Daniels, though I don't have any doubt that those two have thrown this offseason together. It's not going to be on social media. And please, Brandon Ayuk, don't put it on social media, because then things get really sideways in terms of tampering. But they've thrown together. I don't have any doubt about that. And they're going to have some time to build up, but I don't think San Francisco wants him there for day one of training camp.
Denton Day, the Denton Day on Twitter. Really appreciate you giving me this heads up, because I had not seen this video. So now we are fully caught up with the latest from Brandon Ayuk from Denton. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, always.
Oh, actually, real quick, do you have a bandana on right now? It's always my question for you.
I do not, because I just shaved my head, so I got a beanie on. It's cold in my apartment.
Fair enough. All right, good to talk to you, buddy. Denton on tomorrow, by the way, 10-1 right here on The Fan. See you, buddy. Oh, there you go. So you dropped him already. Yeah, it's always something, man. And I'm with him. Like, this is more T.O., where it's just let me go, and I'm going to be a pain in the ass to you, but it's not. It's definitely different than Antonio Brown. But as it continues, Wes, we might have to get some clips from this video that's posted. That's going to be your assignment. I'm giving you time on this. Better lead-in than I did in the first hour. Richmond John yelled at me.
I was going to just walk out.
All right, you're just going to go home? Just go home in the middle of the show?
It's probably why not?
Best choice. Nick Ashew on The Fan. Oh, it's everywhere now. Brandon Ayuk unloading everything. I've been waiting and waiting to finally get his side of the story, as we all have. And he's now given us at least a decent amount of details. Now, we're going to play the full video. But Wes has some work to do for a while, because there's a lot of no-no words in it. A lot. So Wes is going to be working on this for probably a little while. We're going to double and triple check, because there's a lot of words that cannot be said on this show. But Brandon Ayuk has gone for about 3 minutes now, posted it today. I will give you some of the bullet points, though, as we just had Denton Day on a few minutes ago, who thankfully was able to point this out to me quickly, because I'm just waiting every day to see what Brandon Ayuk is going to say. And I'm serious. This isn't even a joke anymore. Because, like, if we're being honest with ourselves, right, don't we have a lot of questions? Don't we want to know what's going on? Don't we want to have some sort of an understanding of what his side of the story is? Whether you agree or not with his side of the story, don't you at least want to know? So here are the cliff notes, and these are the safe for air cliff notes. Again, the full audio, when it's cleaned up, we will have. Brandon Ayuk's agent is tight with John Lynch. John Lynch showed up at Ayuk's house uninvited once. He goes into a lot of detail about what that was like. Ayuk doesn't like Kyle Shanahan. Lynch apologized on behalf of Kyle at one point. For Brandon Ayuk now, it's a respect thing, not a money thing, which, again, explains the why did he give up all of that money. What's his side of the story with that? We get some of this now. And he's also, Brandon Ayuk, not stepping foot on 49er property until October 19th, which is Washington at San Francisco on Monday Night Football, which is absolutely the biggest nightmare scenario for the 49ers. For Brandon Ayuk to play the 49ers on their home field in prime time, Monday Night Football, and the potential for him to go off, because of course he's going to be motivated. Are you kidding me? And you think Jaden Daniels wouldn't want to feed him the rock as much as possible? His guy? His friend? I mean, it is absolute gold. It's gold, Jerry! Gold! I mean, I cannot wait, because this is going to happen. You know this has to happen, right? Look, whether you like the Brandon Ayuk situation or not, whether you're tired of hearing the name or not, every day there's something new. And this is by far the most that we've gotten so far. It always felt like it was a Kyle Shanahan thing, right? Always felt like there was something there with Kyle Shanahan. And it sounds like, according to him, in his, you know, 3-minute account, essentially, of what it is, and it's not overly detailed. At some point, maybe he's going to go on a podcast and give you, like, the 30-minute version. But the 3-minute version is, doesn't like Kyle Shanahan, and John Lynch kind of tried to show up and maybe smooth things over, and he wasn't home and not happy about it. And weirded him out. And there is clear friction with Kyle Shanahan and Brandon Ayuk. And, I mean, that goes back to the early days of Ayuk there. I mean, I remember for years as Ayuk was kind of looked at as this up-and-coming wide receiver, right? It always felt like the conversation was, Ayuk, talented, but doghouse, Kyle Shanahan. Like, those sentences we saw so much. I mean, I can just vividly picture this, where you see these flashes of just spectacular plays from Ayuk. And then it was like, well, why is he not getting these targets? Why is he not on the field as much? Before the, you know, 1,300-yard receiving season and getting paid and all that. And that's really what held the 49ers up too, right? They wanted to trade him to Pittsburgh. He almost got traded to the Steelers. They ended up giving him the deal, and it hasn't worked out since. Now, he sat out, he held out, and eventually came back, got hurt, and that was the end of it. Again, the holdouts and guys not being ready to play, I mean, we saw it with Terry McLaurin to its own degree. Again, this is not the same situation, but in terms of specifically, like, a guy just not playing in camp and then trying to ramp up and get ready and in football shape, you always have that worry of what's he going to look like? How healthy is he going to be? Is his body going to be ready for the season? And that hurt McLaurin in his own way, and that hurt Ayuk, but the difference with Ayuk is he hasn't played a game since. He hasn't played football in a year and a half. The dude can still play. And the Commanders would really benefit from a guy that's motivated, that wants to show it was the 49ers' fault, and wants to show that he can still play football. To me, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer that you sign Brandon Ayuk once he's finally released at some point. All right, at some point we'll have that audio cleaned up and ready for air so no one gets in trouble. Wes is on assignment for this now. Nick Ashew on the Fan.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.